You guys all have a good 4th of July. Yes. All right. Good. 4th of July. We just celebrated freedom, didn't we? Guess what the topic is today? I wouldn't know. Freedom. We just celebrated freedom. And as I was thinking about it, as I was sitting in my office, I'm like, man, you can look back on history and ages and ages and ages have passed and people have yearned for freedom, haven't they? Done a lot of stuff. There's a lot of things we can learn and stories galore. Some things that came to my mind as I was sitting there sipping my coffee is like, think about first in the Bible, we have the Israelites. They were in captivity, weren't they, in Egypt? From the very beginning of time, we see people yearning for freedom. They got that freedom, didn't they? The whole Moses thing? Yeah. Israelites, early in the Bible, looking for freedom from their captives and their captivity in Egypt. Fast forward thousands of years later, we have pilgrims going across the sea, right? Going across the ocean in search for religious freedoms, correct? We remember that from U.S. history. We celebrated on Thursday freedom from England and the tyranny and the taxation of old King George, right? The United States is formed and we got our freedom. That's why we did Thursday, all those shenanigans are because of that, just so you know, history lesson. When I think of freedom, I think of my favorite president of all time, Abraham Lincoln, and the Emancipation Proclamation, declaring all African Americans, all people, were free and given freedoms. I also think of Martin Luther King Jr., the I Have a Dream speech, the freedoms that are in that, that he speaks about so passionately and eloquently. Man, if I could speak like MLK Jr., that would be awesome. And then worldwide, I remember I was in high school and I learned of a guy named Nelson Mandela in South Africa, of all places. I was like, where's that? Coming from a little town in Indiana. But learning about this man and his crusade against apartheid for everyone to be free. Freedom, it's everywhere, all the time. You see people trying to, and as people, we pursue it, don't we? Freedoms, not just here in the United States, but worldwide, everywhere. That's just a few, like, tip of the iceberg examples that I could come up with on a Monday morning for you. We strive to be free. We don't want to be captives to anyone or anything. No one to oppress us. Whether it's social or physical slavery, we don't want it, do we? We want nothing to do with it. We want to be free. In fact, some people have died for freedom, haven't they? To protect it or even to get it or not even have it, but die for it. It's that important. People have given up their life for. But you know, I'm not here to talk about that kind of freedom, right? I'm a pastor after all. We're going to talk about spiritual freedom today. Freedom on a spiritual level. Paul writes about this in 2 Corinthians. He writes about spiritual freedom in his second letter to the church in Corinth. We call that letter 2 Corinthians. And he's writing to encourage the church, the early church, and focus them on Jesus. You see that a lot in his letters. You know, it's an early church, man. They're getting some things right. They're getting some things wrong. And at this time, that church was having a problem with false teachings. So he's writing to set the record straight and to encourage them and point them in the right direction. What was happening is these false teachers were focusing on and using the old law, the law of Moses, to contradict his message, Paul's message, found in Jesus and the new law, what we call the new covenant. And in chapter 3, we see him address these things. And I love how he does it. We'll get into that later. But we see him address things like the old covenant versus the new covenant to set them straight. He talks about a veil that's around people's hearts. We're going to talk about that in a minute too. And through those things, he talks about how as the changes have happened, we have spiritual freedom. True spiritual freedom. And how it's found, we all know how it's found, right? In Jesus. So, without further ado, let's get into it. 2 Corinthians 3, and yep, I did change it. Okay, I was all over the board about where I was going to start this because I wanted to do just, well, and you heard the word I said, 12 through 18, and God's like, no, back it up. Back it up to 7, because it's kind of like, anybody do that jump rope thing where people, and you're going like this before you jump in and you're jumping rope? This is the, this part is 7 through like 12, and then we're getting into it, okay? You're welcome. Anyway, we got to back it up sometimes to kind of know what's going on. And so we're going to read 7 through the end of that chapter 18. Here we go. Buckle up. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Okay, there's a lot of stuff here. There's a lot of stuff. So let's break this down here just into a couple things. So I can see a couple things that we can break it up into. We're going to talk about the old covenant and the bold new life in the new covenant. And then we're going to talk about this veil situation and what that's all about, okay? But what you need to know first, as we go into the first point here, is the freedom from the old covenant, freedom from the old covenant, and we can live boldly into the new. We need to know what in the world he's talking about, don't we, with Moses? So I'm going to fill you in on what's going on and where you can find that. You can read that later if you want to. This is your Old Testament history lesson, which is why I'm going to plug, you got to read the whole book, people. The whole thing. The whole thing. Thank you. And you got to remember, Paul, before he was Paul, was who? Saul, who was what? A Pharisee. He knew all this stuff. So he's able to relate what's going on with the new stuff, and now he knows Jesus, back to this and explain it for us. So here we go. This is how I'm going to break it down for you. What he's referencing is Exodus 34, 29 through 35, but you can read the whole entire chapter if you want to. I mean, the more you read, the better, right? It's that whole, okay, now we're into the jump. Moses had a conversation with God and was bringing that information back down to the people. He's bringing it down for the second time on those stone tablets. Anybody? Who is that actor? Charlton Heston? Why do I look at Steve? Sorry. Charlton Heston? Is that who it is? All right. The tablets with the Ten Commandments on it, you know, the stone things. This is the second time that he's bringing it down. Because the first time he did it, when he came back down after getting those, that's in chapter 32. There was a whole golden calf situation happening. The people were getting impatient. They needed something to worship. They make this idol, and they worship it. And out of disgust, in chapter 32, Moses takes them and throws them down. They're shattered everywhere. So guess what? He has to go back up to Mount Sinai for 40 more days and 40 more nights to get the law again from God. So he goes up again for a second time. I'm also going to plug this. This is not what the sermon is about. But for all you people who don't read this part because you think God is just mean, God gave him a second chance with the second set of the commandments coming down. He could have totally scratched it and said, I got to find me some new people and gone somewhere else, but he didn't. You see the God of grace and mercy even in the Old Testament. Read the whole thing. Okay, anyway, that's for another day. So Moses goes up, he gets the Ten Commandments again, and he comes down to the people to relay God's message. And when he comes down, his face is glowing. Now, the only image I could see of that is, if you've ever been in a really dark place and you see someone with their cell phone on and the lights like shining on their face, is that scary to anybody else? It's like, whoa, what's that? It's like his face is glowing, okay? From the presence of God glowing. In fact, when you read this week, as I know you will, Aaron is scared, and other leaders, but Aaron, his right-hand man and brother, is kind of frightened by this. Like, whoa, what's going on? People probably were, I'm going to assume, they were perplexed, confused, maybe intimidated by the fact that there goes Moses, he comes back down, and his face is shining gloriously. So, in order to let the people really just focus on the task at hand, which was giving them the Ten Commandments, Moses puts a veil over his face. It separates the glory of God from everybody else, from them. Paul, when he writes this, I hope you picked it up, he says it a couple times. He talks about it fading. Did you guys catch that? Not look steadily at the face of Moses. I think that's verse 7. Because of its glory, fading though it was. He says, look, Moses put this veil on because he didn't want people to see God's glory fading, because God's glory doesn't fade. He didn't want them to be confused by what was going on. He wanted them to be focused on getting the law, the Ten Commandments, the rules on how to live and how to live with God and how to live with others. Moses wore that veil when he was relaying God's message. But then when he went into the presence of God, as he did often other times in the tent of meeting or the tabernacle, he took the veil off. He was face to face right there with God, nothing in between. He was in the presence of God and God alone. He took it off. So what does this mean for us? Great story, Pastor Jamie. Sure, I'll read 32 through 34 next week. Here's the point that Paul is trying to make. The old covenant, what Moses brought down for the second time, were the laws, rules, and regulations on how to live. Don't do this. Do this. It was black and white. You either obeyed or you didn't. That was the old law. But we kept messing up, didn't we? Let's not point to them, because we do it too. We kept messing up. So that old law needed to fade away for the new law to step in. And the only way for that law to fade away was for someone to come and complete that law. Who was that? Jesus. That's right. Jesus. There's a new covenant in Jesus, who needed to come and complete the law, replacing the old law with the new. It faded away, did its thing. It was for its time. And now we have the mercy and grace of Jesus, because no matter what we do, we're going to get something on those Ten Commandments wrong. He didn't say that it was useless, did he? Paul didn't write that it was useless to have the old covenant. He said it was perfect or glorious, or, yeah, glorious, I think is his word, right? It was glorious. But now the new is going to be even more glorious in comparison. It passes it up in glory, gloriousness. Gloriousness, yeah, that'll work. Gloriousness. And through that, we have a bold and hopeful life. He writes the word bold and hope. Because of the new covenant that's found only in Jesus. We have freedom from the old covenant. We don't have to do the old covenant stuff anymore. We can do the new covenant stuff, which is obey the rules of Jesus, which were basically two: love God, love others. We have freedom from the old law. That doesn't mean, because I know you're all sitting there thinking, ooh, I can do whatever I want, Pastor Jamie, can't I? No, it's not what that means. And the old covenant that brought death was still glorious, but we've got a great and more glorious covenant now, from the old to the new. We have a covenant upgrade, if you will, in our words. We got covenant 2.0. And through that, we have freedom, because through Christ is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, it says later, there is freedom. We have freedom. What's this veiled hearts thing, man? I really love, I mean, he talks about the veil. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. Anybody here create veils around their hearts? Or minds, right? Stuff that just builds up around there and protects it. It separates, a veil separates you from God's glory. That's what it did with Moses, right? The same thing happens with our hearts when we build up walls, veils. We put up something to cover up the presence of God in our lives. Paul wrote to the early Christians who were being urged to follow the old law that a veil covers their hearts when they follow that old law, and it needs to be opened up to the new law, to the grace, the mercy, and the unconditional love that God has for us. And just as he removed, I love the imagery of him removing that veil and just being face to face with God, we can do the same thing with our hearts and with our minds, with our souls, with our lives. Tear down the veil and you have freedom to have a interaction with God one-on-one, nothing in between. How does the veil get taken down and our hearts open up? He writes in 16, anyone who turns to the Lord, right? The veil is taken away. Anyone who turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And in verse 14, he writes, only in Christ is it taken away. It's the only way. When we have things that separate us from God and God's glory, that veil, whatever you've built up, God, Christ, take it away. What Jesus did takes it away. And through that, you have 100% freedom to live with a relationship. And I said earlier, it doesn't mean you get to do whatever you want, but it's liberation and freedom to have a full 100% relationship with God. How awesome is that? We're free people through Christ. The thought of this veil also made me think of another veil that probably some of you are thinking about right now, you little biblical scholars, you. The one that separated the holy from the most holies. Anybody remember what happened with that? It was in the center of the temple that separated the most holy of places where God was to be in his presence. There were only certain people. The high priest was the only one that could go in there. But guess what? When Jesus did his thing, and by his thing, I mean he took care of death on the cross and then rose on the third day. But anyway, when Jesus died, we read in the Gospels that that veil was torn, wasn't it? From top to bottom. There was no more separating from, oh, you're the most holy person here, high priest, you can go in. All of us, everybody, could enjoy the freedom of having a relationship with God. Very cool, right? Freedom. The literal veil at the temple was shattered and torn. How about this one? How about the one that's in here? Have you taken care of that one to feel God's glory and to have a 100% relationship with God? That's the question today for you. 17 and 18 are like my favorite verses of this. Now the Lord is a spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. Do you get that? We reflect God's glory then. Are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, which is the Spirit. in this newfound freedom and this new life in Christ and this new covenant, with our veils gone, we reflect God. We reflect Him. And we're being transformed daily, little minute by little minute, into His likeness. And what that means is we reflect Him in how we behave, how we talk, how we treat one another, how we relate to others, how we drive our cars. Ooh, yeah. I said it. We yearn, and it's a hunger. It's something, it's a desire within us that we want to be closer and closer to Jesus and be more and more like Him in His likeness. And from this yearning, we get transformed every day to be more like Jesus in our spiritual lives, our moral lives. Every part of our life is transformed more towards Him. This means we can live in freedom and we don't have to have a do and don't list. And if we mess up, then the day is shot. It means that when we mess up, because we're going to, anybody else going to mess up like I am? Thank you, Shanice. I see that hand in the back, girl. It means we're going to mess up, but we have the freedom to go to Jesus by ourselves and ask for forgiveness, grace, and mercy, and then move on with our day. Freedom, no chains here. Freedom to be closer and closer. Can we possibly live like we have freedom, please? Can we possibly live like we are spiritually free people, please? We have the luxury of living in a time where we know who Jesus is. We are the after Jesus people. Thank goodness. I would not have been a good Old Testament person. Not at all. But we have the luxury of knowing about the new covenant, grace and mercy, who Jesus is. We can have our veils taken away and just be in the presence of God and be a 100% relationship with Him. Not holding back, fully bold, right? He says bold, where grace, love, and mercy reign. We just celebrated the 4th of July. Did you all have a good time and have a really great day that day, right? I mean, maybe not. Okay. Some people did, including people in my neighborhood, setting off fireworks all day long, right? We set off fireworks. We go to the beach. We go to a pool party. We have picnics. We eat good food, including lots and lots and lots of watermelon. We had the day off of work. Some people did, right? We had fun. We enjoyed it. Why can't we do that all the time in our spiritual life? You get what I'm trying to say here? Let's live and just set off spiritual fireworks and eat spiritual watermelon all the time. Right? Because we have freedom. The world is watching us. Other people are watching us. And we can show them what true freedom looks like if we behave in that way. We need to stop right here and right now living like we're prisoners of something and say, you know what? We have spiritual freedom in our lives. Let's go. Let's have fun. Let's party. We are free people. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where's the Spirit of the Lord? In us, living, active inside us. So in our hearts, we have freedom. And through this freedom and living in this freedom, we should start getting closer and closer and reflecting Jesus all the time. And the only thing you have to do is one requirement. You just have to ask Jesus, hey, tear down my veil, enter into my heart. I want to follow you. I want freedom in you. That's all you have to do. It's that simple. Once you do that, you live in the freedom. And you start acting like it, your behaviors change, and you start acting more and more like Jesus and becoming more like Him in His likeness. And what you do through that is you're reflecting God to others who are watching you. Let's go out this week and show the world what spiritual freedom looks like and behave that way, shall we? Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you so much for this reminder and for this message this morning. God, I pray that we all take it to heart and look at our lives and see what kind of veils we have put up. Help us to just live in the freedom that we have and understand that we are free people through you and to behave as such. Let's show this world what real freedom really looks like, and that's spiritual freedom through you, God. And we are just so grateful that we can come right to you and see your glory, and you can transform our lives, and we can become more and more like you and formed in your likeness. Be with us, God. Change us and help us. We love you so much, and we just want to be closer to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.